everything you know will change.
Like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday, Sports Hub fans. Welcome to The Rundown. Yet another busy weekend in sports. We will get you ready like only we can. It's an NBA heavy rundown today. The NBA Finals are a wrap. Toronto is your 2019 NBA champions. We got a lot to unpack from that series. How much does the injuries to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson affect not only Golden State going forward, but the entire NBA? Kemba says he'll take less to stay in Charlotte. How likely is he to do so? And is that even a good move for Kemba? Cam Newton has apparently been throwing the football for the past month. Minicamp ended this week, and the Panthers are done till July. They're out on summer break. We will check in with our guy from the four-man rush, Kevin Avery. And we'll get you caught up on Bowman Gray standings and much more. I am your host, Desmond Johnson, joined by Rod Funderburk, Brandon Blakeney in the house, Aaron Gabriel in the studio. Sawyer Dillon is on vacation this week. Aaron holding it down inside the mothership there. And we do still have a Twitter poll question for today. What is the best championship trophy in pro sports? Your choices: the Larry O'Brien trophy from the NBA, the Super Bowl trophy. I can't remember the official name of it. Lamar Hunt? No, that's the AFC.
No, it's a man from Green Bay Packers.
Oh, the Vince Lombardi. What's wrong with me? Yeah. The Vince Lombardi trophy from the NFL, the World Series trophy from Major League Baseball, or the Stanley Cup, which the St. Louis Blues won this week, their first Stanley Cup victory ever for the franchise. 336-777-1600 is the number to call to chime in on any topics today. Or hit us up on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad or Sports Carolina 1. We're going to get into the NBA Finals because we got a lot to dissect, gentlemen. I wanted Brandon here today because of his basketball acumen, and we're going to talk a lot of NBA over the course of these 2 hours here. So definitely, if you've got some insights or some comments, thoughts on what we saw, a fantastic NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors. 336-777-1600 would be the number to call to chime in on that. Real quick, some business at hand, though. If you want to see the Winston-Salem Dash this season for only $7, you can check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Winston-Salem Dash deal. Just go to sportscarolinamonthly.com. Click on the Dash ticket special at the top of the homepage. Get your ticket vouchers and enjoy baseball action in the Triad. Single game tickets, only $7. It's a $16 value exclusively from Sports Carolina Monthly. This is good for the July 5th through the 7th homestand. So definitely you can go for July 4th break. Limited supply available, so go check that out now. So, fellas, Toronto wins its first NBA championship 4-2 over the Golden State Warriors. Initial thoughts on this series, and it feels like this series, for me, is going to be kind of remembered as the day a dynasty died, because I don't think Golden State will ever be as powerful as they were this season and last season in terms of roster makeup and the injuries that they have sustained to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. So I don't even know where you guys want to begin with what happened over the past like week or two regarding the Warriors and their roster.
Well, just one question to start things off. Since they are in Canada, do they go to the White House? Like, where do they go to visit?
I can't imagine President Trump inviting them to the White House. Maybe they go to the Prime Minister's house in Canada or something. I don't know.
I have no idea. No, Trump would not even think about inviting them to
probably
the White
insult
House.
Insult them, I would think. Like, yeah. I can't believe that Canada won the NBA Finals or whatever. If he even knows that they won.
He's going to say, get out of here, you Canadians.
go ahead, Rod.
Well, my question is this, man. Will we remember the injuries from Golden State during this Finals more so than Toronto winning and Toronto not having a lottery pick player on their team and coming in and beating a Golden State team that was just riddled with injuries? Is that what we're going to remember this NBA Finals?
I think it depends. If this is a one-off for Toronto, then down the road I think we will think of it that way. If Kawhi stays, Toronto wins another one or something like that, then I think we'll look at it as, okay, this was the point when Golden State moved off the dynasty pedestal, and Toronto is making a claim to get up there.
Now, I must agree with you, disagree with you on that. I don't think I don't think the Golden State will not be a dynasty anymore. I think they're going to take a rest for a couple of years. I think they're going to, you know, just have a lull.
I can see that.
You know what I mean? Because my thing is this: LeBron James, I guess, is his own dynasty. And what I mean by that is he's gone to the finals. He's been, you know, rolling for those 8 years in a row, although he's only won three championships.
Yeah.
But you cannot say that he's not the man. You know what I mean? Although he's only won three championships. So I see the Raptors going back, possibly getting there, because just their style of play can beat anybody at any given time. And I'm going to be honest with you. What I remember, what I'm going to remember about this is a comparison that people have made concerning LeBron James. And what that comparison is, they say LeBron James can't make the clutch shots. He needs Kyrie Irving or he needs somebody at the end to, you know, to win the big game. And I'm going to tell you what, Steph had a clear open shot at the very end, that last shot.
He did.
And he missed it.
He did.
And I think when Steph gets under pressure, I think he's like pipes. He bursts. No, I'm serious. I am serious as a heart attack. When it was time. Hey, listen, do you remember when Clay got hurt and he slammed the ball down? He didn't slam the ball down because Clay was hurt and he was upset for Clay. He slammed the ball down because he was like, oh, my God, this joint is all on me. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. And guess what? What did he do? He started dribbling, double dribbling, tried to dribble behind the back on a double team. And what happened? Y'all saw it. Lost the ball. He tried to do too much.
Yeah.
He didn't make the right. Steph doesn't make the right plays when he's under pressure.
But I'm going to give him a pass because at that
point. I'm not giving him a pass.
At that point, they had lost Kevin Durant. They had lost Klay Thompson. Iguodala's 35 and playing on one leg.
Looney's
hurt
the chest
with the rib thing going on. Yeah. I mean, like, the Warriors, I've never seen a team show up to the finals as banged up as they were. And then they got worse as the finals went on in terms of their injuries. And it got to the point where Steph, he was the only offense out there. Like, there wasn't nobody else that could really score.
It reminded you of the 2015 finals with LeBron without Kyrie and K-Love. I mean, the guy's averaging 30-plus points, 8-9 assists, you know, about 5-6 rebounds. I mean, he was doing a lot out there. You can only ask so much.
If it's your team, you got a Supermax deal, the last play of the game, the last play in Oracle Stadium, the last play that could end not only at Oracle Stadium, but to just be done, period, for the year, and you got an opportunity to take it to game seven. You're a max player. It's your team. Everybody says the team doesn't go anywhere without you. You can't hit the last shot. Sorry. Pipes. Pipes, baby.
So let's start with Kevin Durant,
hate it for him.
Who I have been on record. I've waited all week to get in front of this microphone because I have been on record for the past month that Kevin Durant had no business playing in this series and that I wasn't necessarily sure that it was a calf injury that he had in the first place. Like,
I agree.
You know, because I look at it like this. Let's connect the dots here. So when we did see Kevin Durant the past, like, month, he'd be in the tunnel. He's wearing the hoodie. He's giving dap to his, you know, his boys that are coming in. What was the one thing he was wearing all month long? An ice bag on that calf in the tunnel. What injury can you have where you have to keep icing it 4 weeks after you did had the injury? You know what I'm saying? Like, that alone, it stood to me like, why is he still icing it? And then when he got cleared, and when he got cleared off of a 2-on-2 practice that he had with, like, some G-leaguers or, like, lower-end bench guys or whatever. It didn't even sound like it went full-fledged. But just 2 days before that, he had a horrible practice session where Jalen Rose, Brian Windhorst, all the guys were like, the practice went worse than they expected. He's probably not going to play. 2 days later, he has a 2-on-2 thing. Like, he's cleared to go. No minute restriction. He's already rock and roll. Then, the night of game five, two things that stood out to me that made me feel like, okay, Durant's doing too much. He was breakdancing in the back during the pregame.
On that Achilles.
And he was doing some slides and stuff on that Achilles. And I'm like, what is he doing? Like, I've been watching this dude ice his calf muscle for the past month in the back. And Jalen Rose talking about he's still limping back and forth to the bus. This is 4 weeks before.
Even in the shoot around, he was still
adrenaline.
Kinda,
I think it was adrenaline. Yeah. He had adrenaline going. Jalen Rose, I've had people be like, well, you're not a doctor. And I hate that type of prognosis about this, that you're not a doctor, so you don't know exactly what's wrong with him. I might not be a doctor, but if I could sit on my couch and be like, he should not be playing because he might further risk injury, then the whole Golden State medical staff should have known that too, but they cleared him, And that's all he needed to hear, because you got to protect players from themselves. He'll go out there and play on one leg if he can. Sure. So he ain't going to care if he – I mean, if he hears he's good and the doctors are telling him, you know, there's no risk of further injury, which is what they told him, he thinks he's good to go. So he's in there breakdancing. He does a monster dunk during the pregame. Did they make sure they show on ABC? So I'm watching all this like, okay, apparently he's all right. Why didn't he play in game four? You know, like, I mean, if he's doing all this, then why couldn't he play in game four? Then the thing, the two things that broke it for me, they sent them out to do the tip, which he doesn't do. He doesn't do the tip off. That was almost like a sign up to me, like, okay, there, why would you, a guy that has a calf injury, why would you send him out? The first thing he's got to do for this basketball game is exert pressure on this calf to jump up to do the tip when he normally doesn't do the tip. That to me was a show of Golden State, like, we're pushing all our chips in. We've been messing with you, Toronto, this whole time. Mm-hmm. We got our whole, like, arsenal here, and we're about to blow y'all out. Like, we're about to show y'all what it really is. That to me, that was what that was supposed to be about. But the thing that the most to me was him playing 12 minutes. Steve Kerr pulls him out for 2 minutes. As soon as he gets to the bench, they put that big ice bag back on his calf again. And I'm like, why are they doing that in the middle of the game? Because unless he's going to sit a while, he sat 2 minutes. And then they put him back in the game after him running for 12 minutes, icing it for two on the sidelines, and then sticking him right back out there again. And then as soon as he made a move on his own, because all the moves he had done at that point were catch and shoot threes, when he made that crossover and tried to go, the Achilles popped. And I'm just like, how can I see this from my living room that this is going to happen? And the Golden State medical staff are just like, whatever. And you could tell by their faces when he's walking out on crutches, they're like, we made a mistake. You know, they had to own it. And I think that came back into play with Clay the next game, because if that hadn't happened with Durant, Clay might have kept playing the whole game.
So based on what you just said, if he's on the sideline getting ice down.
Right.
Now, I'm not a doctor either, but my parents did give me just a little bit of common sense some bunch of years ago.
Thank you.
Right. When you're getting ice down, does that loosen your muscles or tighten them up a little bit when you put some ice on your muscles?
It's supposed to loosen them up, right?
Or is it? No, that's like an ice down. No.
Oh, it tightens them up. Okay. So it tightens them up.
That's what tightens your muscles up. Oh, so you're telling me you're going to go to the sideline, get your muscles tightened, and then come back and try to play when they need to be loose, because heat is what loosens your muscles up.
Ah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
You understand what I'm saying?
I didn't understand it. I'm just like, I understand you're down 3-1. Would that? Here's a better question. Would Golden State have played Kevin Durant if they were up 3-1?
No.
So then why is he so if that's the case, then why is he out there, period? You know?
I think it goes back to a Kawhi Leonard situation. I was doing some reading from CBS Sports, and what it was saying was there were people not necessarily inside of the Warriors organization, but there were people who were directly connected to the Warriors organization who were saying Kevin Durant is not that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really that bad. Something's going on. Oh, we just believe that he's upset still with the whole Draymond Green deal, and he wants those guys to lose. And that wasn't the case at all. I mean, a player is a player.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, guys, you know, I'm the biggest one to jump on Kevin Durant. I'll call him a cupcake. I'll call him all kinds of things. And I do not wish any ill will on him. I do not wish him this injury, nothing at all like that. But an athlete is an athlete. And what I mean by that is, if a guy can play, he is going to go out there and play. And because Kevin Durant is the type of person that he is, you know, he sets up these burners accounts. He always claps back at people when people say something to him.
Highly sensitive.
So, exactly. Highly sensitive. So when these rumors and things started going on that he's not hurt, what does he do? Oh, I've got to get back out there and show them that I can do this, or I'm not playing, or whatever.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what he was trying to do. And now he's jacked up even worse. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not going to be hurting money-wise next year.
Apparently, he's still going to get the Supermax. Golden State's apparently going to offer him a Supermax five-year deal.
You still have to. You still have to at this point.
So, but, see, that's something too. Which injury is bigger for Golden State, Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson? Because as it stands right now, Kevin Durant's going to miss the entire 2019-20 season. We ain't going to see him again until 2021. Mm-hmm. And even after that, it's still going to be like, you know, another year after he comes back before we really see him. So that's Kevin Durant at age 32 after an Achilles injury. Klay with the ACL, 6 to 9 months, that puts him around about February, March of 2020. And even same for him. You can't just parachute these guys in like it's NBA Live and expect them to play at the same level they were playing at 9 months ago or a year ago before the injury. Now, Was I shocked that Kevin Durant came out and hit three threes after sitting a month or whatever? Absolutely. But we were debating whether or not he was the best player in the world before that. So The adrenaline going and everything else, that didn't really, and the way he got the shots, it was basically him running up, catching it, and shoot. That didn't really surprise me. But Klay, to think that Klay will come back and be beneficial to the Warriors in February, March of next year, that means you're saying basically that Golden State can hold on until he comes back. And what do you have? You're going to have Steph Curry.
Well, let's not Draymond forget Green. Boogie Cousins is on the
Boogie
roster.
Boogie might resign with them. That might be a good move,
actually. And this is his time. I think that's the perfect scenario for him to really exert himself and earn that money that he needs to be making for the next year.
They would have to change everything they do, though. Like, I mean, if they switch to a Steph Curry and Cousins type of thing, Cousins could get 20 a game
He can get 5 assists a game. We saw him showing the playmaking ability. At one time, Boogie Cousins was the best 5 in the league.
Like 2 years ago.
And it's not really that far removed.
Yeah, before he got hurt. Did he hurt his Achilles or did he hurt his ACL? I can't remember which one he tore.
I think he hurt his Achilles
Now, he's a big man, so it's harder for them to come back. And then he tore his quad, in the playoffs.
And that was,
and
he still, he battled back from that. And I think this is the time where he really has to exert himself, him and Steph in the pick and roll. You still have Kevin Looney, who they view as a franchise cornerstone. You still have Finals MVP and
Iggy.
Yeah,
they do like Looney.
They like Looney a lot.
Iggy said he's coming back.
Iggy, Quinn Cook.
He'll be 35,
36. Hate it or love it, Quinn Cook, one of the better backup point guards in the league, played some huge minutes. Just as important as Van Vliet was, in my opinion. Made some big shots for them in the first couple of games, played some really good defense. So I think this is still a playoff team in the West. Definitely not upper echelon, but Klay's also not a guy that needs to dominate the basketball to score.
Right.
So shooting always translates. So
I think Klay's the bigger responsibility for Golden State. I mean, they lucked out that he didn't qualify for a Supermax.
Yeah.
So give that man his $5,180,000 or whatever and go.
That's why I think his injury was bigger, because with Durant, there was no guarantee he was going to be in a Warriors jersey anyway.
Right. I think they might have already been thinking about life after KD in case he decided to go. So that one wasn't as big. But Klay, he is a Warrior. He's ingrained in the fabric of the
drafted,
Warriors.
Born and
homegrown.
Raised.
Yeah. Like, you got to keep the Splash Brothers together to be able to. To Rod's point earlier in this segment, not thinking that the Warriors dynasty ended, that it's on a pause, that would be with the assumption that you're going to have the Splash Brothers and Draymond, that core. Yeah, I can see them competing in the West, but what I'm talking about is this whole this notion that no one can beat Golden State that's been going on for about 3 years, really. That is over. Like, that has ended, and got destroyed in front of our eyes during this NBA.
And the
finals.
NBA's catching up. The rest of the league is catching up.
LeBron,
the West
LeBron
is
LeBron over there cheesing after watching all this. You know, man, all it's going to take is getting AD over there, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later on in the show.
Oh, I definitely agree with you. Now the Warriors can be beaten at any time. It's like Rocky IV, excuse me. They are not a machine. They're men. So they're not a piece of metal. They're only men. So now, what's going to decide for me how the Warriors are going to do is I'm going to have to look at the organization. Now was the time, I've complained all the time. Look at what the Warriors did to Mark Jackson. I hated it, right?
Yeah, you have been big on that.
So now, we're going back to the organization. What's the organization going to do? Now that these guys are hurt, what kind of player development strategies does the organization have in place? How are they going to help develop Cook alone to possibly be right there beside Curry?
Yeah, the draft.
What are they going to do in the draft? Okay. How are they going to reorganize their offense? And more of this is Steve Kerr. How are they going to reorganize their offense, possibly let Boogie Cousins take a larger part in the offense? How is Draymond Green going to come around and continue to be that extra glue that we've always said Draymond Green is? And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Klay was the bigger injury issue. I think it was definitely Durant, because Klay's a sharpshooter.
Right.
When it comes to shooting, you could pull up anywhere. There's not really a whole bunch of pressure you need to put on the ACL. You know, that pressure from ACL is that lateral movement when you're moving lateral.
Cutting and doing all those things. Yeah.
So not a big deal. But when you're talking about a guy like Durant, who could be regarded as one of the greatest all-around offensive players in NBA history, this guy just finished leading the Warriors to 2 NBA titles and won Finals MVP honors in both 2016 and 2017. He's a 4-time scoring champion. I mean, that is a huge loss to any team.
We're gonna get into more with Kevin Durant, because we got to decide what's going to happen with him in terms of his future. Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, a bunch of other guys here. Free agency is about to start. The draft is in 5 days. So we got a whole lot of NBA over the next like week or two to get into. But coming up, the Carolina Panthers had a mini camp this past week. We will have Kevin Avery from the Four Man Rush on to discuss all things Panthers.
Shut up. Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right. That's right.
Listen to previous episodes of The Rundown on the go. The Rundown with Desmond Johnson, now available on all major podcast formats, including SoundCloud, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. Simply search The Rundown with Desmond Johnson, download, and enjoy. There's a lot of previous episodes up, and you can hear all of that. Actually, listen to this on Spotify when we have it up each weekend, so definitely check it out. Super easy to find. We're going to be speaking now with, from the Four Man Rush podcast, Kevin Avery, who has become a fan favorite around here, so to speak, for his acumen about the Carolina Panthers and everything him and his guys do. Kev, what's going on, man? What's up?
Yes, what's going on, man? Good to be back. How y'all fellas doing?
Doing good, doing good. We know the Panthers had a mini camp this week, and I know you were out and about in Charlotte for it, but I know that it was closed off to the public because they're building the bubble, the practice bubble, so you can't really see as much as you could in the past. But
right.
One thing I wanted to talk to you about, it was reported this week that Cam Newton started throwing a football over a month ago. How surprised were you to hear that that Cam Newton has been throwing already?
Honestly, it didn't come to quite a surprise for me personally. Like, I like the fact that this particular offseason, Cam Newton really took this offseason rehab a lot more seriously than he did the first time around. Now, I'm not saying that he didn't take it serious before, but when you realize that one more shoulder injury could possibly be something that really affects your career as a quarterback who's still in his prime, I would say I think he just really just took it to epic levels as far as his prepping, his training, his daily rehab. I mean, I had inside sources kind of tell me that, you know, Cam would do it, but not with the intensity that he did it this past off season. So it was definitely good to hear that Cam really took it to another level with the rehabbing. And I wasn't surprised to hear that he was throwing behind the scenes over a month ago on his own. I think to feel comfortable, because when that video came out of his new throwing motion,
yeah,
it looked more fluid per se for what it was. I mean, we're not getting all, you know, happy over OTAs like that, but for what it was, it seemed to be a comfortable fit. He didn't come off as looking awkward with this new throwing motion. So I think doing it a month behind the scene prior to coming out, when it came out that he did it for a month before we actually saw it, doesn't surprise me.
You know, and it's tighter. I like it. It's like it's more of an overhead type of throw. Whereas, we've watched Cam play for us now. This is what, his eighth year, ninth year that'll be with the Panthers, and I think we've all gotten used to him being a top thrower, meaning that he kind of throws with his upper body. He doesn't really use his legs to get into the throw, which has got him this far because he's a strong gentleman. But it looks like the mechanics have changed a little bit, where now he's kind of throwing it over his head more, whereas before it was kind of a side type motion, and that's giving him some torque that he's kind of using his hips more to get it out. So the ball is a tighter spiral from what I've seen. Now, I haven't seen him throwing it downfield. I don't know if anybody's seen him throwing it downfield more than 20 yards yet, but I would have to think that that's a good indicator that if Cam Newton is healthy, that with all the moves that Ron Rivera and Marty Herney have made over the offseason, if you're a Carolina Panthers fan, seeing Cam throw, that was probably the last thing you needed really to feel comfortable going into the season, right?
Yeah, definitely. With Cam Newton and his new throwing motion, which, as you just mentioned, using that lower body, you know, when using your lower body, you're and opening up them hips with your feet planted, you allowing the ball to come out with enough torque and enough rotation to where you're not overthrowing, or you're not underthrowing your intended target. And besides a better ball coming out, it also helps preserve that injured shoulder as well. So it's more so fine-tuning day one mechanics that we've all been mention about Cam Newton since he's been here, to also a point of preservation as well. But I definitely think that, you know, once minicamp was over, Rivera said that Cam Newton and all the receivers are going to meet up at some location during these next 6 weeks off, and he's going to really fine-tune that new throwing motion, and they get the opportunity to, you know, feel it themselves. And I think that's going to be good leading up into Camp Wofford.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, go ahead, Rod. You can go first, man.
Hey, Kevin. It's Rod Funderburg. How you doing, big guy?
I'm doing, Rod. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing great. The sun is shining and the weather is sweet, my friend.
Finally.
Yes, exactly. Listen, with Cam, you know, Cam Newton has been a pivotal part of the Panthers offense for years. He's been running the ball, passing the ball. This year being his ninth year in this league, do you feel the Panthers will continue to use his legs in the same manner, or will they really be scaling back, especially when you have weapons, you know, such as McCaffrey in the backfield and all the other weapons that he has on the outside and receivers and even a couple of tight ends who are sitting there? What can we expect to happen this year as far as the usage of Cam Newton?
In my estimation, I think that you still have to let, quote, Cam be Cam, but you put that Cam be Cam on a pitch count, per se. You know, with all the weapons and all the talk of what we surrounded Cam by, I mean, you know, a revamped, faster, more agile receiving core, you know, dual threat back at the tight end with a healthy Olsen and a Ian Thomas. And, hey, I mean, we even got to mention Manhurst. I mean, that pass on Monday night, I mean, hey, he showed, you give me the ball, I can get to the end zone.
Yes, sir.
You know, and, you know, and with the running backs behind McCaffrey, you know, that's battling. You know, so that's going to be a whole lot for from an offensive point of view that we're going to bring to the table. That defense coordinator is going to have to now focus, but then suddenly out the blue, here comes quarterback power, Cam Newton, them busts loose for 10, 12 yards, just suddenly out the blue off a read option. You know, so it's the perfect match, and then you got North Advil Turner calling plays, and the reason he got that name Advil because they say his play calling gives defensive coordinators headaches. You know, I just think that, you know, we don't expect it to be heavy like it was his first 3 or 4 years, but the way he was kind of used last year is ideal. It wasn't a certain set number of runs, but based on what the defense set up and what the defense was trying to do, if the opportunity came, hey, still use Cam. He's still a football player. As he said, I'm a football player, not just a quarterback. So if you got a guy with that type of ability, why hold him back? You know, and just, you know, like you said, sometimes we got to protect the player from themselves, but I think we still have to let Cam be Cam in certain situations.
Hey, Kev, man, Brandon Blakeney here. Just wanted to holler at you. We've been talking about a lot of offense, but let's switch sides to the defensive side of the ball. Some question marks there, a lot of additions, especially on the defensive line, which was one of the many holes in the Panthers roster last year. New additions, Bruce Irvin, drafted Brian Burns, got Christian Miller, and, of course, the big money man, Gerald McCoy. What have you been seeing from these guys, and what is the upside, what is the ceiling for this group this season coming up, you think, in your opinion?
Yeah, as far as for the defensive side, I mean, you're talking about, we just did a serious makeover on the defense, not only on the front seven side, but also on the back end as well. Mm-hmm. When you think about the fact that both general manager Marty Herney and head coach Ron Rivera said we needed to get faster and position flexibility on defense, all these moves on the defense side of ball this offseason have pointed to that. And as I mentioned the last time you guys had me on, I mentioned that Ron Rivera has finally learned to play chess instead of checkers. He's now being placed in position where with position flexibilities, he can have the same core front seven players, a different personnel groupings, but on one play we could be in a 30 front with a 3-4 base or a 3-3-5 nickel, or we can switch up them same players and get in a 40 front. You know, and I just like the fact that with the type of matchups that we can now present to the defense, we're going to create that extra second or two hesitation that Coach Rivera said in the offseason that he needs, because the Panthers were top 10 in quarterback pressures last year, but just bottom 5 in sacks. And we saw so many times, especially on third down, the quarterbacks just barely got out of the way and was able to get off that big pass and over the first down. And it's like now that we brought the speed element and we're bringing speed coming from different positions now with new players, I could definitely see this Panthers defense making a serious run. I've always thought the 2013 defense was one of my all-time favorite defense when we had 60 sacks with Greg Hardy and Charles Johnson. Monsters. I can see I can see that record of 60 sacks possibly with the speed and with Rivera calling plays possibly being something that could be achieved in the 2019 season.
We are live with Kevin Avery from the Four Man Rush podcast. You can find the Four Man Rush podcast on a multitude of different channels, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. They are all over the place. They give you analysis, film breakdown of the Panthers, news and notes, any kind of signings, cuts, everything Panthers, if did you need to know, definitely look up the Four Man Rush online. Kevin Avery with us here on the Rundown this morning. I have a question about Curtis Samuel, Kevin. I really feel like this could be a breakout year for Curtis Samuel. This is the first year really that he's coming in really healthy. The past two seasons he's had something wrong, something banged up, or he get hurt later in the year. This is the first year where he seems like he's coming into training camp fully 100% healthy. He may be the fastest guy on the team, and between him and DJ Moore, I feel like our wide receiving core is getting slept on a little bit, which I understand because they haven't really truly had a chance to prove themselves yet. Mm-hmm. But I feel like by the end of this season, they're going to be talked about more than they are currently right now. What's your initial perception of Curtis Samuel, and what do you think the ceiling for him might be?
I think Curtis Samuel is going to show us why, you know, it's said that NFL player, well, once a player in the NFL, it's typically his third year where you really see what he's all about. And I think we got a nice sneak preview last year once he returned, because I believe he missed the first three games with that irregular heartbeat last year. But, you know, you're talking about a guy that scored, what, five touchdowns and just 74 touches? I mean, you're talking about someone that is a legit threat to get the ball into the end zone or a huge play of 20 yards or more at any given time. And it's not always necessarily on deep passes either. I've seen him where he just takes a sluggo, a slant and go route, and just he's gone. You know, we posted a video of, you know, him putting, you know, Stephon Gilmore in a blender and just spun him around last preseason against New England. Like, his ability to get open is insane. And I just think that Curtis Samuels is going to really be more of a household name outside of Panthers Nation in 2019. You know, you're talking about flexibility. I mean, he played running back a little bit. So, you know, with North, you know, don't be surprised if we don't see a full house backfield with Cam, McCaffrey, Moore, and Samuel back there. You know, just something like that would just make like, okay, what in the world are they about to do? You know, because these guys legit have that type of ability to present that type of threat, you know, and, you know, it's just something to really make you excited about with Curtis Samuel. He's a known natural, you know, track star as well from his days at Ohio State, but I think his transition is going to really come full circle in 2019. I'm definitely excited for the type of explosiveness that he's going to bring to the table.
Hey, Kevin, it's Rod again. Hey, man, as we talk about all the weapons and things of that nature, you know, people who know about football understand that things happen and begin down in the trenches. So I've got some questions about that offensive line. You know, I heard that Darrell Williams didn't really partake in any of the team drills, but I think Ron Rivera said he might be still on track for a pretty good offseason. And then you got the new guy, I think, is it Matt Paradis? He had an offseason leg injury.
Oh, the center.
Oh, yeah, the Colts or the Broncos old center.
Yep, yep, the Broncos old center. So he had a leg injury that he's coming off of. And then you're looking at Greg Van Roten to come back and lock down that left guard spot. And then I think we drafted a second rounder, Greg Little. So, you know, he has quite a bit of learning to do. So, once again, you know, the offensive line is very important. And based upon the little bit that we know about the offensive line, what can we expect about that offensive line right now? You know, we still want to protect Cam Newton. We still want to be able to open up holes for McCaffrey. And in protecting Cam Newton, we need to give him enough time to hit those weapons down the field. So what can we truly, honestly expect to get out of this year's offensive line?
Well, what you can expect is an offensive line that when it gels and clicks up under the coaching of offensive line coach John Masco and assistant line coach Trevor Wharton, you can expect this to potentially, when it all clicks, to be a top five, top seven unit in the league.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why I say that, let me understand, put this out there. This is not me speaking from just a homer point of view because I'm a Panther fan, but when you do the type of in-depth studying and background checking we do here at the Four-Man Rush, we see that, Darrell Williams and Matt Paredes did not do team drills. I'm cool with that. You know, say, because with offensive linemen, really, until you put the pads on, that's really not going to be an indication. You know, running around in helmets and shorts and OTAs, you know, I had no problem with them guys, you know, skipping the team drills part. But, you know, as far as, you know, the pieces that we have to put together on offensive line, you know, you can see a unit that can potentially dominate on not only in the run game, but the pass game as well. For example, you know, with Matt Paredes that we signed from Denver, he did have a leg injury last year, and it was mentioned when he got signed that he wasn't likely going to participate potentially until the mini camp. But with him waiting another 6 weeks, I'm cool with that. But you're talking about the guy that Pro Football Focus had as a second highest graded center in free agency last year. You know, switching from a legend like Ryan Khalil to Matt Paredes is going to be huge for Cam, because a lot of his pressure that he got came right up the middle. So you take a Paredes at center, Pro Bowler, and Trey Turner at right guard, and as Dez said, you know, we're looking at, you know, Greg Van Roten. Like, nah, I played every single snap in offense last year. Darrell Williams, you want this spot? You better come take it from me, because I ain't giving you nothing. And I like that. That's what you want. So I just think that guys not only looking to improve themselves, but to make a point, it's going to make this offensive line unit a lot better. And I, as a guy that played on the offensive line myself, all these positions, I'm looking forward. When I'm watching a game, I'm always looking at the trenches first. Then I go back to the big screen and see, all right, what the skill positions do, because what happens in the trenches dictates attitude, it takes tone, and it really lets the defense know what's going to happen from an offensive line point of view.
That's right.
And I think that guys like Greg Little here, you know, he's learning that he just can't get by on his athleticism, and that's important. I like that Rivera made it clear and told him that, you know, hey, you're an athletic guy, but at this level, everybody's an athlete. So I just think that potentially we could be looking at a top five, top seven unit overall.
We're gonna have Kevin on throughout the season giving us some Panther updates and whatnot. I think you told me you're going to be down for the Panthers opening training camp late July, correct?
Yeah, they announced a players report Wednesday, July 24th, I believe. Yeah, so that's when they report in and bring their bags and stuff like that, do their conditioning, because their conditioning is they have to do 14 40-yard sprints, you know, just to make sure, you know, you're up to speed, getting ready for camp. And the kickoff party is going to be that Thursday, July 25th. So I definitely going to be down. I've already put in my vacation time from work. They know me, so they know that I'm definitely gonna be there as well. But yeah, it's definitely gonna be something Four-Man Rush is gonna be on the scene for, and looking very much excited for it. This is gonna be a great camp.
Okay, fantastic. So we'll have you on again, probably not next week, but probably the week after, and just give us some more updates on Panther, because they're pretty much out for summer break at this point. But we'll definitely have Kevin Evan around for Panther updates and news and stuff throughout the football season upcoming. Kevin Avery, Four-Man Rush. You can look him up on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. They're all over the place. They're not hard to find. Definitely go and check them out. Subscribe to their YouTube channel and get in-depth coverage of the Panthers, film analysis and whatnot every single week. Kev, it's always a pleasure, man. We will be talking to you again real soon. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to basically get into Bowman Gray news, because I'm going to knock on wood, but it appears that you're going to be able to get some racing in tonight in Winston. Every time I've said this the past like month or so, by the time it gets to 7, 8 o'clock, it starts raining. So I'm hoping I'm not a jinx for anybody. I think I checked the weather, and I think it's supposed to be clear all day. It's a beautiful day outside today. So we've got some Bowman Gray news. We'll get you updated on their scoreboard, who are the leaders going into the races tonight. Plus, the voice of the dash, Joe Weil, will check in. We've got some hot takes, too. Rundown hot takes next on the Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
It's going to be one big party.
Yeah, man!
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Myth Becomes Legend 2, the 2018 East Forsyth State Champs, is a three-part series detailing the journey of the Eagles from preseason to state title game in the words of players, coaches, and staff. Hear from head coach Todd Willard and star players such as quarterback Ty Lyles and running back Amani Marshall and more. All three parts are now out exclusively at SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. I'm just laughing at this bump that Aaron picked for me to read this over.
You like that?
I got some Barry White going on. Man, my wife's out of town right now, man. You're killing me. First, before we get to our man Joe Weil on the phone, let me update you on Bowman Gray. Like I said, the sun is out. It's shining. Get up out your seat and go do something after the rundown's over today. One of the few days we've had in the past, like 10 days, where it hadn't been pouring rain. Last Saturday was rained out, so everything that we talked about to tell you to go do, there was a dash doubleheader. Bowman Gray was going on. Something else was happening, and then it rained literally as we walked out and downpoured for the entire Saturday. So we hopefully you won't have to deal with that going forward today. But let me get you hooked up for what to expect going into these races today. Your 2019 point standings going into June the 15th over at Bowman Gray in the modified series. Tim Brown is leading over James Cavalli. He's got a 10-point lead. He's at 178 right now. Going into the Sportsman Series, Justin Taylor is your leader at 232 over Kyle Southern right behind him at 227. Tommy Neal's in third with 218. The Street Stock Series, Jeremy Warren leads that with 230. Jacob Creed right behind him in second place at 224. Brian Wall in third place at 220. So they're bunched up there at the top of those standings.
Pretty tight race at the top up there.
Yeah. Stadium Stock, Grayson Keaton is leading that series with 192 points. Steven Sanders at 186. He's tied with A.J. Sanders for second place. And if I'm not mistaken, that's it. So go out to the racetrack tonight, Bowman Gray Stadium, 8 o'clock p.m. I believe the first races start. Like I said, it looks like, looking at the weather, you should be good to go today heading over there. And I know they get kind of wild. We were talking about doing something over there, a tailgate or something one time soon. We do have a podcast beginning here soon called The Franchise Players. For those that have been wondering where Johnny O is, Johnny O is no longer with Curtis Media, so he's no longer on the rundown. However, myself, Rod, Johnny O, Haskell Shelton, who's a regular here on the rundown, we'll be starting a weekly podcast that you'll be able to get on Spotify and Google and Apple and SoundCloud, and you'll be able to take that with you wherever you go. We'll give you some more info on that coming up soon, but the first episode might be out this week. We might be doing an NBA draft podcast to start off Franchise Players. So we'll give you some info on that, and just check your Facebook and Twitter and whatnot. I'm sure you'll be able to come across it somewhere on there. Joe Weil from the Winston-Salem Dash, we have him on the line right now for our weekly segment here on The Rundown. Get to know Joe. Basically a weekly segment where, Joe, we're not going to really ask you baseball questions. We're going to ask you random questions about Joe Weil so the public can get to know the voice of the Winston-Salem Dash. I do want to mention, though, I was filling in for Sawyer Dylan, who's on vacation right now, and I did the Dash game Thursday night. And as you know, Joe does these movie lines that he does through the drive with Josh Graham, and he got them all in. But the game Thursday night was pretty interesting because it was kind of a no-hitter going through, like, the fifth or sixth inning, it felt like, Joe?
Yeah, it was a pitcher's duel for a pretty long time, really, until actually the end of the game where the Mudcats won on a walk-off single. But I thought what was the most fascinating thing about that game, too, is that there was another rain delay that the Dash had to deal with in it. And in the ninth inning, and I don't know if you were listening, Dez, but I just had to have fun with it because it was so frustrating considering four out of our last six games in our last homestand were canceled due to rain that I just started doing play-by-play of the tarp pole.
I was listening to it. It was very good because, as you said, you know, the game started at 7, first pitch, and I didn't realize it, but we got to, like, the top of the ninth in, like, almost less than 2 hours. Like, I mean, we were just boom, 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 and both pitchers, both sides was just like, 1, 2, 3, let's go to the bottom of the first. 1, 2, 3, let's go to the top of the second. And it was like, it just kept going and going. I was getting worried you were going to be able to get the movie lines in because I looked up and we were like at the bottom of the sixth and it was like 8 o'clock. And I was like, how did we get here so fast? And then, like clockwork, we got a rain delay like at the top of the ninth. And I was like, ah, man. And that lasted a little bit shorter than I expected. Got on. Mudcats had a walk off in the bottom of the ninth because they were at home and they ended up winning that game. But today, you are still the Mudcats. If I'm not mistaken, you got a game today at 5 o'clock, correct?
That's correct. We have one today and then one tomorrow and then the Carolina League All-Star break. So we get 3 days off and then the second half begins on Thursday. We have a seven-game homestand that ends up starting that day too. So and I actually believe Thursday, don't quote me on this, but I do believe Thursday is the first day of summer. It's that or Friday in terms of
you might be right.
Technical.
Yeah.
So for folks that are wanting to celebrate it, it is the lowest food Thursday. So fans should definitely come out to the ballpark. $2 beers, and you can get them obviously in left center field at the Foothills Brew Pen. But pretty good deal, and especially celebrating the first day of relaxation time for most people.
All right, so here's our weekly segment with Joe Wild, voice of the Winston-Salem Dash. You can listen to him every Thursday night here on the Sports Hub as we bring you Dash Baseball. Get to know Joe. Your question for this weekend, what is your favorite sports movie of all time and why?
Oh, that is a really, really good question. Oof. I'm going to probably... Man, this is putting me on the spot.
That's our goal. That's our goal, Joe.
I am going to probably go with Major League. I think Major League is my favorite baseball movie overall. And it had to be a baseball movie for me because baseball is my favorite sport. But Major League is just so funny, the subtle humor of it. And I think being a broadcaster, I also just appreciate Harry Doyle, too. Bob Uecker's character in his famous line, just a bit outside, and how he starts drinking in the first game, and he says damn on the air, and then his color commentator says you can't say that. And he goes nobody's listening anyway. I think that's probably why I appreciate it as much as I do. But I think that would be my favorite movie. It had to be a baseball movie, and I was right as you asked me that, Des. I was thinking between that and Bull Durham, which I think. It's probably a better overall movie, but I think Major League is just a little bit more enjoyable because the comedy is a little bit better in my mind. But Bull Durham has some amazing lines too, and obviously a quotable movie as well.
Fantastic, that's good stuff. So, like each week, we're going to start doing this. I want to do a little something different since you're already on with this Thursdays on the Drive with Josh Graham. So on Saturday mornings when we check in with you, we'll find out where you guys are, what's going on with the Dash, and then we're going to give you some random question that has nothing to do with baseball that you have to answer, whether it's your favorite movie or your favorite, what was your first car, whatever it might be. So we're going to do that going forward each Saturday, but we appreciate you checking in with us, Joe. We will talk to you again next Saturday. Good luck with the first pitch tonight, 5 o'clock. You can hear it online through Google Winston-Salem Dash, and you can get to their tune in so you can listen to it there online. They are playing Carolina Mudcats today at 5 p.m. and then they play them again tomorrow at 2 p.m. Thanks for checking in with us, Joe. We will talk to you next week, okay, bud?
No problem at all. And for next time I come on, I want as smooth of a rejoin as was just played. I actually was hearing that, and I thought I should have started dimming the lights in my hotel room.
Man, Aaron's in there running the booth. He's running the ship today, so I have no idea what kind of bumps he's going to be playing going forward. That kind of took me by surprise, too. But I'm literally about to call my wife when the show is over, so we'll...
I think Aaron has a hot date tonight.
But hey, Joe, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So we're going to get a quick update here in a second from Aaron on our Twitter poll. You still got some time to vote on that. Which sport has the best championship trophy? NHL, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. Let's see. We've got Aaron here ready to go. Give us an update on that poll, man.
Yeah, according to our Twitter poll here, so I'm guessing we're doing is this like a beauty pageant to see which trophy is the nicest? Is this what we're going with?
We probably should have been more specific with it. I almost wanted it to be like, what's the most recognizable trophy?
Like a prestige. Oh,
yeah, like what's that one trophy when you see it, even if you don't watch the sport, you know what it is?
Oh, yeah, so, that would probably be the Lombardi trophy.
Yeah.
But I think the listening public may think it's a beauty pageant because the Stanley Cup is winning by 60%.
Wow.
That's a nice trophy.
Yeah, Josh Graham mentioned that during the week.
Stanley Cup is gorgeous.
It's a beautiful trophy, and everybody knows it. I think people have eaten cereal out of it all kinds of nasty stuff.
Their kids in it.
Yeah. Kissing it, rubbing on it, and everything else. It stays at people's houses and stuff. But we'll check on that again before we get to the end of the show today. I do want to do this new segment that we started last week, Rundown Hot Takes. Basically, each person will give one hot take on something they saw this week or a prediction on what will happen going forward in sports. That's myself. Brandon's going to have a hot take. Rod's going to have a hot take. I assume Aaron's got a hot take. I know what it is, so we're going to go straight into this right now. So Rundown Hot Takes right now. While you guys talk about what you're going to do for these hot takes, I'm going to find out what's up with my intro music because I really like it, and I want to make sure it comes on. So for now, go ahead and get started. Who's between you two, Brandon and Rob? Which one of you guys have a hot take that you want to go with right now?
Because
Brandon
seemed
like you ready to go?
Oh, I'm ready to go.
Hit us with that hot take.
All right, so my hot take, I'm going to think a little bit outside the box. After seeing just one of the most impressive single-hand performances we've seen in a Women's World Cup matchup, the Team USA, ladies, 13-0 against Thailand? Are you kidding me? 13-0. Just they scored more goals in that one game than majority of World Cup teams participants right now have scored in their country's history. So I'm going to go with the ladies. I think this team could be the greatest collection of talent that we've seen on the pitch for the women's side, which is saying a lot because we've done some damage on the pitch. But you've got Alex Morgan, probably the best women's soccer player in the world right now. She's doing her thing. You also have Megan Rampone, who's been there, collected a couple World Cups. She's been there, got the purple hair. She's got the drip, as the kids like to say, on the pitch. So definitely a fan of her and just her activism as well. You got Carly Lloyd, who might be the most impactful player in the United States system, guy or girl, that we've seen in the last few decades, the way she's just carried herself, had a kid recently, come back, had another kid, come back, and continue to do her thing. She put in a goal as well against Thailand. They caught a lot of flack. They caught a lot of flack.
I wasn't mad at all.
They did.
I was not mad in the slightest.
They ran it up.
And I mean, didn't appreciate them catching that flack either.
I didn't either.
If Thailand was up on us 13-0, you think they would have been out there hooting and hollering and celebrating? They would have been even worse.
And so the thing you have to consider,
suck it up, it's the World Cup.
It's like a lot of these girls, it's their first chance, their first time in a World Cup. And you don't get a chance every day to score a goal on that stage with the whole world watching. So my hot take has to be Team USA. I think this might be the greatest collection of women's talent we've seen on the pitch in our history, which is saying a lot.
That's
saying an awful lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I believe, no disrespect to Hammond.
It's called Rundown Hot Takes for a reason.
That's where I'm going with it, and I feel like they will continue to run through the competition, and I think they'll have a battle. You know, France is a good team. Italy's got some talent. Brazil's always there. But I think they will win the World Cup. In emphatic and impressive fashion.
I'm gonna check them out because I think they play tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, in the afternoon. So I'm gonna check them out.
Definitely.
Rob, what you got, man?
No music bed.
I don't know. I asked Aaron if he could put on a bed for us. Everything all right in there? Yeah, he's good to go. I don't know. We getting a bed? No bed? Yeah. Okay. So it'll sneak up on you.
It's gonna sneak up on
you. Yeah,
all right. Well, look, I'm going baseball, which is a sport that I never go to.
Wow.
But I'm going College World Series, 2019 College World Series baseball. And my prediction or hot take is Mississippi State will win the 2019 College World Series. Yes. I mean, these guys, they eliminated number 3 Stanford. The Bulldogs, they're pretty much the second best hitting team in the tournament. And they're batting just a little bit over 300. Which is
swinging
awesome.
The stick.
Yeah, yeah. Swing. Which actually is the 4th in the nation.
Yeah,
and they can pitch too, man. So you got pitching, you've got hitting.
Yeah, I mean, really good baseball.
Mississippi State, 2019 World Series champions. Wow. You heard it here first.
That's actually not bad. When I was working for IMG last year, I did a little baseball for them, and I want to say I was doing Ole Miss baseball games in the spring. And I didn't realize how good the SEC is in baseball.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, Mississippi State.
They're serious.
South Carolina.
South Carolina. They got some squads
They're
down
serious.
There.
They're serious.
Let me go to Aaron for his take. Do you have a hot take for today, Aaron?
I do.
All right, what's up?
So I'm in here doing my social media thing and my producer thing at the same time. And
I'm proud
I see Twitter
you.
Has a new member. The newest person to join Twitter is none other than Orathol James Simpson.
Wow.
Yes,
what?
Sir. The juice is loose on Twitter.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, my hot take is this. OJ Simpson will have the most entertaining Twitter page of 2019.
I'm about to go look. I'm about to go find
See,
him.
You is can't it, resist it.
Is it a rental James? Is that what he's under? Or?
I think it's O.J. Simpson. The real O.J. 32, I think, is his handle.
The real O.J. 32. I am on it.
Apparently, he posted a video, and at the end of the video, he says he's got a lot of getting even to do.
Oh, wow. Lord.
Wait, what?
Yikes.
OJ Wait, tried to go now. Back. Send him back.
That's the right phrase he needs.
Hold on, man. A lot of getting even to do.
Yikes.
That doesn't sound very.
That is scary.
Yeah.
How'd your kids have your wife?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm literally looking for him right now on my Twitter to find him. I'll have to do it during the commercial break.
I mean, people can say what they want, but OJ did it.
Man. He opened a Twitter account on the week of the 25th anniversary of his wife's murder?
He did.
Wow.
Come on, man.
That dude
That's,
did it.
Are we sure this is O.J. Simpson? Like, are we sure it's
he
him?
He put a video out with it and everything.
Is he verified?
All right. Yeah, I know. Has Twitter verified him yet?
No, I don't think he's getting a blue check mark.
Oh, no. I don't know. Hey, man, Twitter gave one to Trump. So, hey, they might give one to O.J. too. Yeah, you know, we'll find out. Oh, I still need to give my hot take. Bring that ODB back because I was feeling that. So I can give mine real quick. Then we got to take a quick commercial break. So the draft is June 20th in the NBA. Free agency opens June 30th at 6 o'clock. It's a Sunday night. 6 p.m. is when it opens up. Mm-hmm. I've given this take before on another program on this station. I'm going to give it here. The Los Angeles Lakers are going to win the 2020 NBA championship. And they're going to win it. They're going to win it because of what happens in the next 10 days.
Ooh. Currently the favorites in Vegas.
Anthony Davis is going to end up being a Laker. They're going to give up. I don't even care. Brandon Ingram, bye. Lonzo Ball, bye. Kuzma, see ya. Fourth pick, get it out of here. Bring Anthony Davis in. Now, I have heard they're going to hold on to the fourth pick and try to trade that with something else and get Bradley Beal, which I ain't going to hate. You put Beal, AD, LeBron James together. But I'm still sticking to my initial analysis that we will see LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie Irving in Laker uniforms this year. It don't even matter what you put around them. Just give them a bunch of shooters and some guys that can rebound, play some defense. I like what they did with the coaching staff, adding Jason Kidd and Lionel Hollins to be there with Frank Vogel. As long as they're healthy and they can pull off this AD trade, the Lakers are going to win the 2020 NBA championship. That's my hot take for the week.
That's a heck of a hot take.
What's the matter, man? Aaron looked like he's disgusted with me right now.
I'm still on the edge with Frank Vogel, man. I think if you're just going to hire a mediocre coach, you could just have kept Luke in that situation.
Well, it's almost weird that they hired Jason Kidd, too, because it feels like he's a coach in waiting. Like,
yeah,
he is.
When Vogel messes up or LeBron don't care for him anymore, see ya. Get out of here.
Exactly.
Or Lionel Hollins. Either one of them.
I mean, they dropped the ball on Tyronn Lue. I don't think Jason Kidd's there to be the lead assistant forever.
Nope, I don't either.
No.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to turn to NBA free agency, and everything has been turned upside down because of the events in the NBA playoffs. We'll start from the top. Kawhi, KD, Klay, Kyrie. That's a lot of K's there. What happens next? Season for only $7. Check out the Sports Carolina monthly Winston-Salem Dash deal. Go to sportscarolinamonthly.com, click on the Dash ticket special at the top of the homepage, get your ticket vouchers, and enjoy baseball action in the Triad. Single game tickets are only $7. It's a $16 value exclusively from Sports Carolina Monthly. Good for the July 5th through the 7th homestand. There's a limited supply available, so you probably need to go and stock up now. Have them for the kiddos. Enjoy it during the 4th of July holiday weekend. Sports Carolina Monthly's Winston-Salem Dash deal. Go and check that out for sure. You are listening to The Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, joined by my man, Rod Funderburk, Brandon Blakeney in the house from PhenomHoopsReport.com, and Aaron Gabriel running the board. Sawyer Dillon, our producer extraordinaire, on vacation this week. Let's get into some NBA action. Man, the NBA and the NFL, I swear, they're the two major sports in the country that just dominate year-round the headlines. Like, the season just ended, and it felt like before the season even ended, more people were concerned about what was going to happen in free agency than who was going to win the NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we had to put this in here because we'll have another week to talk about this before free agency starts June the 30th at 6 p.m. It's a Sunday night. It used to be July 1st at midnight. They moved it up 6 hours. So we're going to see a flurry of activity probably on that Sunday night. Let's start off with the four big ones that are out there. We touched on two of these already, but we didn't get too deep into what could happen. The first one, the big fish, Kevin Durant, ruptured Achilles tendon. He's going to miss the entire 2019-20 season. Mm-hmm. What is the best option for Durant? He can either opt into his second year with his third year with Golden State. He signed a two-year deal last year with a player option. He can opt into it and make $31 million, or he can opt out and re-sign with Golden State, or he can opt out and sign with a new team. What say you, gentlemen? What would be the best option for Kevin Durant, knowing what we know about his injury and everything that came with it?
Well, right now, I'm going to go against where I think he could potentially end up and say the best scenario. They differ. Best scenario, in my opinion, would be the New York Knicks. You go there, you get to rehab. I mean, it's still the Garden now, fellas. It's still the Garden. You get to rehab. Not a lot of expectations, no pressure of really winning from year one. They're still rebuilding, so you get time to really just do your thing, can kind of expand your brand, you know, financially too as well in a bigger market. And it gives the Knicks something to talk about. Hey, we got KD, and they're just going to be waiting on his return. I mean, essentially, you know, nobody that they get is going to catapult them to the playoffs.
I got questions for you, but I'm
gonna Brandon, are you a Knicks fan? Is that why you said that?
Oh, no. Okay. Far from it. Far from
So you're not a Knicks fan. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So you're just trying to cause controversy
Rundown. I just think New York's that market, man. I can dig it.
What about what you think, Rob?
The best option. Look.
I'm shocked. I was like, really? The Knicks? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the best option for Kevin Durant. Look, he's hurt. He's got a year. He's got a rehab. You know, there's no better place to rehab than somewhere on the islands in the Caribbean or even the south of France. You know, why not do your rehabbing in the south of France? So my thing is, while he's rehabbing and getting better, go ahead and opt in. Get that $31 million while you're rehabbing. And then after you finish rehabbing and you let the Warriors know, hey, man, I'm good to go. Everything is lovely. Then you sign another deal with the Warriors.
Right back to
Sign another $5 million, 5-year supermax deal right back with the Warriors. Right, so get your $31 million for this year and then get you another 5 years on top if you want the best.
That's a safe play. Okay, that's a safe play.
I got questions for both of y'all.
That's a safe play.
So here's my issue. First, let me start off with Brandon. Here's my issue with New York. Him rupturing his Achilles, if he leaves to go to New York, you're saying basically he's going to abandon the medical staff that he's been with for 2 years in Golden State and go to a brand new medical staff
the
and
medical
rehab
staff
the Achilles?
That let him down? Are we talking about that same medical
staff?
That
was a good retort. That was a very good retort. and then you, Rod, opt into the $31 million when Golden State's already said they'll pay him the 5-year Supermax as it is right now. Should he opt out and just sign the Supermax with Golden State for 5 years?
You hold the Supermax for the year after. You opt in.
That is true.
You don't get 6 years, baby.
Bet on yourself.
Yeah, right? If they are willing to offer him a Supermax right now while he is hurt.
Five years, $220 million, I think it is.
All right, so this is what you do. Take the $31 million now, opt in. Go ahead and get better. And when he's better or on the verge of getting better next year, give me that same 5-year deal, but don't make it 230. It'll be what? It'll probably increase about 10% by then.
Oh yeah.
So now you're talking about he just added at least $50 million to his contract over 6 years.
But what if he goes through rehab for the year? Say he does that, opts in for the year, goes through rehab and has a setback, then that Supermax is gone. Like, I can't imagine Golden State still offering him a Supermax if I'm having a problem with them offering a Supermax as it stands today, because when it comes to injuries like that, for me, I like Kevin Durant. I think he's a great basketball player. But there's not a single ball player out there that's come back from a ruptured Achilles and been anywhere remotely close to what they were before they got hurt. Now, Chauncey Billups, Kobe Bryant, DeMarcus Cousins.
What about back in the day?
Rudy Gay. He just came back this year, but –
Well,
he's not
Dominique
where he
Wilkins
was.
That's been advising these guys.
He's the only one.
That came back strong. And yeah. I will say the difference how to – from Durant, he is 7 foot, but at the same time, Kobe was on the ladder part of 30.
He was 34.
Yeah,
when
and we saw it take 2 years off his career. It killed the Mamba. But Durant's younger. Technology's gotten a little bit better. Training's gotten a little bit better. So I'm not saying it's a guarantee he's going to come back the same player, but I think there's a stronger chance in 2019 or 2020 than there was in, 16 when it happened to Kobe, 15 when it happened to Kobe.
No, I completely agree with you. And I completely agree with you, Des, from an organizational standpoint. Why would you want to do that from an organizational standpoint? However, That wasn't the question. The question was, what is the best option for Kevin Durant? And it is not the New York Knicks.
If
KD goes to New York by himself, his career will end there. It'll just die there.
People want to go play with KD. Somebody's going to come.
People go visit James.
People want to go play with KD.
People visit James Dolan to die. Period.
Here, let me move to the next guy. Klay Thompson, torn ACL. He's probably going to miss... I say he's going to miss the entire 2019-20 season, although they're saying 6 to 9 months usually for that injury. 9 months, best case scenario, we'll put it around February. That's the best case scenario. Although my man was running up and down the hallway and went back to play defense on a torn ACL. So what's the best option for Klay? I mean, I think we all kind of know.
4 years for life.
Yeah, super, that max deal, baby. Stay. It's like 4 years, $140 million. No, $180 million, I think he can get because he's got bird rights.
They
5 years. They can do 5 years with Klay because he's from there. Yeah, so that one's a pretty easy one. Then you start getting into the weeds a little bit. Kyrie Irving will more than likely opt out of his Celtics deal. What's the best option for Kyrie? Now, Brandon, you said earlier in the show that by all accounts, it looks like Brooklyn. Is the leader in the clubhouse.
But I will say this, I'll bring up not a Knicks fan, actually a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, Rod, so I'll bring this point up. I would like to see him back in L.A., reunited with LeBron at the one. LeBron and Kyrie are just perfect for each other, and Kyrie played his best basketball beside LeBron, averaging 20-8. That's what I will say. I do, by all regards, believe he is headed to New York, to Brooklyn, which I don't really understand just because of the fact that they have Dinwiddie and they also have D'Angelo Russell at both point guards.
Yeah.
And Spencer Dinwiddie was almost sixth man of the year. Great guy off the bench. Pretty much their Lou Will. So I don't really see a need to spend that check on him at point guard where you could use that money elsewhere if I'm Brooklyn. But it seems like he has his heart set on Brooklyn, so maybe there's something there. Maybe they're moving some pieces.
Unless Russell's going to come in there, and maybe they're planning on moving. Unless Kyrie Irving's coming there, and then they're planning on moving Russell out.
Russell was an all-star this year.
Or they play him beside each
other. That's what makes him so valuable. Makes him so valuable. You get him out and bring some pieces in for him.
I'm so confused as this notion in 2019 that players are making decisions based on wanting to play closer to home.
Yeah.
Because during the season, they're gone half the year anyway. They're on the road. And then in the offseason, most of these guys already have houses near their home.
Hanging out in
or whatever,
L.A. or doing
or they're
whatever.
In L.A. Yeah. LeBron had a house in Brentwood for like 2 years before he actually got to play for the Lakers.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Well, it just means that they're making too much money. I mean, when you're making too much money, you can make those type of decisions.
He had the Hollywood dreams.
Yeah, you can cut. You can say, hey, I'll take a cut. Because it's already more than enough money. It's already generational money. So now, hey, I can just go wherever I want to go and not even think about it.
And you know Bron's in his ear like, come on, man. We don't want a ring. We can do this.
I don't see Kyrie Irving going to the Lakers just for the simple fact Kyrie's definitely an individual. And he doesn't want the stigmatism hanging over him that, hey, he had to follow LeBron James around. He couldn't do anything by himself without LeBron James. And I don't think he wants that. I think he wants to set his own mark wherever he goes.
But
he tried that
in Boston.
I think the apology fixed a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like the unabated, unintended, like when it happened that week, we were in here and we were like, why did he even apologize to him? The reporter didn't ask him anything about LeBron James. Yeah. He volunteered that info. That sounded calculated to me.
Yeah.
He had a door open down the road.
I think the apology was legit. I think I think he really felt that with LeBron. But there's been so much talk about him not being able to do things without LeBron to where he's in that mindset. Yeah, I did apologize, but I can't go play with him. Even if I want to go play with him,
and
I can't.
With the apology, I think, truthfully, he just saw what it took to really lead a franchise.
Yes.
I mean, you had Jason Tatum and
Jalen Brown
and those guys. Yeah. They weren't ready to wait.
But
they wanted to be the guy now.
But isn't that roster better than Brooklyn's?
I think it's a lot better, but I also think it's better without Kyrie.
Like what?
It's better without Kyrie.
Yeah, I think it's better without him too. So it sounds like more, it's not so much about the roster. It's more maybe Kyrie had issues with Brad Stevens. He wants to get away from that.
I could see that.
Or maybe a mix of that and the locker room as well.
He needs LeBron. I mean, he needs LeBron.
Too.
And then you get LeBron for three more years. And then when LeBron's probably his last contract. When he retires he'll be 30 37, 38
at that point? His own terms, still one of the best in the league.
And you would have the keys to the Laker kingdom. And Kobe Bryant is your guy that you talk to on the phone
and
every day.
Forget,
Rob Pelinka's running the team.
And Davis and Kyrie were crucial parts of the last Team USA team we had.
They've played together before.
They've played together.
It would work. Real quick before we hit the break, though, the other big fish out there, Kawhi Leonard, will probably opt out of his Raptors deal. What's the best option for Kawhi?
The best option is for him to stay and be an icon in Toronto with Drake and get the keys to the kingdom. But he's an L.A. guy. Kawhi's strong-minded. He'll do what he wants. I think he's a Los Angeles Clipper.
I've noticed when he has talked about the Raptors the past 3 or 4 weeks, when they've asked him questions, he says they, them. Mm-hmm. Like, he never says we. He never says us.
Pick up on that.
Yeah, he's always like, you know, they're a good organization. They had a lot of good players here. Happy for Toronto. He never puts himself as a part of Toronto. He's always kept it like, I'm Kawhi. Mm-hmm. This is Toronto. I lucked into a great situation. San Antonio sent me to a great spot.
Yep. That's it.
But I'm going to be a free agent, and I'm going to decide where I want to go. I don't know if it's the Clippers, because like I said, I came up from a generation. Rod, I can with this too. The Clippers have been a laughingstock my entire life. Like, yeah, and these players grew up on that too. So like, for them to be like, all of a sudden, I'm going to play for the Clippers, it's like somebody saying, well, up until this year, I'm going to play for the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
You know, like, it's like players just don't go there.
But I think the Clippers have gotten rid of that stigma, honestly. Because Doc Rivers is not nothing to play with.
Doc Rivers
that roster
is a heck of a
coach. I know they got money.
They got money.
Billionaire
that
owner.
That young roster, they're pretty much a playoff team with absolutely no superstars. They're young.
For me, personally, for Kawhi, I think he should do the Kevin Durant-LeBron deal. Like LeBron was doing the whole time he was 4 years back in Cleveland, what Durant's been doing in Golden State. You sign a 2-year deal, max it out at 40, 44 per, and you put a player option in the middle of it. So basically you're on a 1-year deal basically, and Kawhi can get out of it after that year, or he can stay for that second year, or he can opt out and that's what Durant's done since he left OKC.
Yeah.
That's what LeBron did the entire 4 years he was with Cleveland. I would do that because you just won a world championship and just slayed the dragon. See what you can keep there. If it don't work after this next year, you still can come out, still get a max deal, and go from there.
Well, I think Kawhi is just a man of his word.
Yeah.
Kawhi told you way back when he was with the Spurs where he wanted to go, what he wanted to do. He wanted to go back home to L.A. It's sunny. It's warm. The ladies
West
are
Coast.
Beautiful. That's where he wanted to go. You send this guy to Canada where it is cold. It is freezing. The women are wearing fur coats all year round.
Man, that's not true.
This guy, this guy is ready to go to L.A. He told you he was going to L.A. He won a championship with the Spurs where he was the MVP. He won a championship with the Raptors.
The three-peat killer.
Same deal. And you know what? You know what Kawhi is saying now? I go win the championship at a third team. There is no person who has done that in the NBA. I'm in the class all by myself, even above LeBron James. His best option, take your championship, you go where you want to go, because Kawhi Leonard can attract anybody to come to the L.A. Clippers.
And the Clippers have another max.
Hey, look, we got to take a quick break. But coming back, we haven't forgot about the NCAA. They announced this week they expect at least 6 Division I schools to be given notices of allegations for Level 1 violations as a result of the FBI's investigation into the sport. We'll try to guess which schools, and are any ACC schools in the bullseye. Plus, we haven't forgot about our man Kemba Walker either. He's willing to take less money to stay in Charlotte. We'll dissect that too. You're locked into the Rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party?
Yeah! Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Listen to previous episodes of the Rundown on the go. Rundown with Desmond Johnson, now available on all major podcast formats, including SoundCloud, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. Simply search the Rundown with Desmond Johnson, download and enjoy. I need to mention, actually, Live with Brandon Blakeney is now available on SportsCarolinaMonthly.com as well. Weekly podcast. Brandon's out in the streets. He's heavy in the high school prep world. There's 2 stories up right now from him. An interview
Cam Edwards,
2020 prospect. And then you were actually at an event last weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Try at First 48.
Seeing
a lot of action around the city, around the triad in general.
So definitely you can go to sportscondomonthly.com, go to the prep section or podcast section, either one, and you can get that stuff from Live with Brandy Blakeney starting now, going forward each week. on SportsCollinerMonthly.com as well.
Bring in the heat.
Yes, absolutely. I had to touch on the NCAA stuff that's going on this week. Stan Wilcox, the NCAA's vice president of regulatory affairs, told CBS Sports this past Wednesday at an athletic directors conference in Orlando that two programs might receive notices of allegation by early July and that four more will probably receive them by the end of the summer. Wilcox said there's even another group of cases we're still working on. The main thing is we're up and ready, we're moving forward, and you'll see consequences. Now, during this wiretap case from the FBI, assistant coaches from four different schools, Arizona, Auburn, Oklahoma State, and USC, all pled guilty to accepting bribes from aspiring business manager Christian Dawkins and others to influence their players to sign with his fledgling sports agency. During two federal criminal trials in the Southern District of New York, there was evidence presented of or testimony from witnesses that coaches at a handful of other schools, including Creighton, Kansas, Louisville, NC State, and Oregon, allegedly made offers of improper payments to players and their families or were providing them with payments. How deep will this go, guys? And does the NCAA even want to find out what it may find out or what it may already know?
I think they already know.
I think they do too. I think they know a whole lot.
It's like what they used to say on the streets. When the feds come bust down your door and they take you in for questioning, they got the answers.
Oh, they already know. Yeah.
They just want to know what you're going to say.
The FBI don't waste time on nonsense. Like, if they are after you for some reason, they already had the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to know what you're going to say.
Yeah, they just want to know what you're
going to
say.
out of the names you just listed, Creighton, Kansas, Louisville, NC State, and Oregon.
Yep.
Remember that game you used to play as a kid? Which one of these does not belong?
Yeah.
What is Creighton doing on that list?
Oh, man, Creighton has some dogs, man.
What superstar star has come to Creighton on a check?
They had the kid that just transferred, from Marcus Foster from Kansas State. First-team All-American.
I don't know.
Now, we know about the Louisville stuff because all the Rick Pitino stuff. He's the only head coach that's lost his job after that.
And we know about
NC
State.
Is there really more there? Goodness.
Now, Kansas, I've been leery about Kansas from the jump because they're an Adidas school. These are all Adidas schools, if I'm not mistaken. No, Oregon's a Nike school.
Yeah, Creighton is a Nike school as well.
NC State is an Adidas school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we already know that Dennis Smith Jr. took $75,000 to go to NC State.
Like he could have got more if Markell got 100. I'm just saying.
I'm like, wow. Which explains a whole lot for what Dennis Smith was at NC State for that 1 year. He couldn't wait to get going, to get to the NBA. So it wasn't even an option for him to stay. So I don't think that this is going to affect, because a lot of the big ACC coaches like Coach K and Roy Williams and those guys, they want this to happen because they want to get this out. But I've said from the beginning, I think plausible deniability is the way to go here. If, say, you have a school that's, I don't know, in Durham or wherever, and high-end recruits keep showing up there randomly late August, September, they just start popping up there when they were heading towards someplace else, then magically they show up over here. If the coaches don't know how they got there or what the decision was for, like if the shoe company is talking to the family of the player and not talking to the head coaching staff at all, you can't blame the head coaching staff. They don't know. They don't know what's happening. So there's no penalty to give out. You can't penalize the shoe company because the NCAA doesn't regulate shoe companies. So there's a big loophole in this entire process that the shoe company's kind of figured out over the past 6 or 7 years. I'm not saying that Duke or any of these other schools that have not been mentioned in this have anything to do with this. But I have said from the beginning, go look at the top 4 or 5 schools that have brought in top 10 recruits the past 5 years. They're all the same schools. Duke, Kansas, Kentucky. I'm missing one. Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Arizona. Those are the four that have had top 10, top 5 recruiting classes. And some of these schools didn't have it like that until just recently.
Well, I remember, I don't know when Duke went from getting the John Shires of the world to the Kyries and the Jabaris.
2011? Like, yeah, 2011, 2012. It just flipped.
Team USA's also been included with that.
I know, the whole thing with K, that, you know, he's the coach of the Olympic team and all that kind of stuff, and he's got connections with pro players, and LeBron calls him, and yeah, I get all that. But I truly don't believe that, like with Zion's situation, and for some reason Zion's wiretap portion of this got left out of the NCAA thing, so I don't even have anything on Zion to even investigate, which is pretty convenient. But
yeah,
from our understanding, Zion's stepdad was shopping him around a little bit, well, and he was trying to get a house and a job and stuff.
Everybody thought he was going to Clemson.
Exactly.
Everybody.
Clemson and South Carolina were.
Yeah, South Carolina.
And North Carolina was up there towards the end.
Well, his stepdad actually went to Clemson. Yeah. So it was like hand-delivered. Like, they kind of dropped the ball with his recruitment, per se. But
so did Zion's family not move to Durham in another house or something like that?
If I'm not mistaken, they did. And
I heard the house was pretty expensive.
It was. And that's kind of my thing. It's like, okay. So you're saying, so we know that Zion's dad was shopping Zion and saying, you know, I'm going to need a job. We need a house for the family. You know, can Nike take care of this or Adidas or whoever it was? Am I supposed to suspend belief and believe that all of a sudden, late in his recruitment, Zion decided to go to a school where he was going to get none of that after they had just been shopping him around to multiple Division I schools asking for specifically that? Like, We're supposed to say that now because he had a chance to go to this school, his stepdad's no longer asking for this stuff that he's been asking for a year just because it's that school.
Yeah,
like, that
exactly.
doesn't sound right to
I
me.
I mean, the kid's a walking brand, first off.
Yeah.
And he would have been Zion at Duke or North Texas. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where he went to the school. So I think, yeah, I believe it. Duke needed Zion more than Zion needed Duke, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they knew it was going to be a 1 year. Now, I will say him going to Duke, it did elevate his brand a little bit because he was on TV 40 times, you know, with
being
Duke.
He was on TV in high school.
He was.
On ESPN. It seemed like every week he was going viral.
He's the closest thing to LeBron we've seen since LeBron.
Agreed.
In terms of coming out of high school.
Agreed.
Now,
physical build
as
well.
Now, this wasn't the conversation I was wanting to have. We'll probably have it next week after the draft, but I am very worried that they have overhyped this kid because the more I think about it, as I think back on the season, he reminds me more of Blake Griffin more than anything else when he came out of Oklahoma. Extreme athletic talent, real raw, do some things that you're just like, wow, he's not doing like Dominique Wilkins type dunks or whatever, but he's doing stuff to get you out your seat. You're like, oh man, I've never seen somebody that size do that before. So it throws you off. And I'm more worried that he's going to be looked at as like a savior. And I'm looking at him more as like a very key piece of a team, you know, not like the one guy that everyone's going to follow. Now, I might be wrong, but I didn't see a jump shot from my man all year. He doesn't have a jumper. He has a set shot.
He
has
definitely
to wind
has
up
set
and
shot.
Shoot it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think he was more skilled than Blake coming out because you see Blake now, and I mean, he's passing the ball. He's dribbling it.
I wouldn't mind
Blake wasn't really
Charlotte.
Taking nobody off the dribble. But seriously.
Yeah.
Zion, though, he's bringing the ball up the court. He's initiating offense for other guys. So I will say, I think he's more skilled than guys give him credit for. And he won't be the first guy in the NBA to make the league with a broke jump shot.
Yeah.
I promise you, I haven't seen Giannis or Ben Simmons take a jumper in I don't know how long.
Ben Simmons, has he ever took a three?
Yeah,
has Ben ever took a three?
He might be on the trading block.
Man, they got
soon.
They're
I've
guarding
heard that
my
too.
Man 30 feet away. Which,
yeah.
I mean, he's still, let's remember though, guys, I always like to say, he's still 22 years old and already an all-star, already got the keys to a franchise, so I still give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's true.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Zion Williamson, man, this guy, he's a point center is what you could call
this
guy. He's got incredible athletic ability. He's got incredible athletic ability. And if he can just concentrate, hone in on his craft, oh, my goodness. And he works during this offseason or going into this upcoming season for his rookie year. I mean, he can develop that jump shot. He has the athletic ability to develop anything he puts his heart and mind to.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Statistically-wise, he was the most efficient college player we've seen since they've been recording.
Oh, yeah, even more than Shaq. He's going to be good. I'm not saying he's going to suck in the NBA or anything like that. He's going to be a good player. I'm just leery to put him in the Jordan, LeBron, Magic, change the league category. And I just need to see.
I mean, I think popularity-wise, he's as big as those guys' names as they were coming in, maybe even bigger. But from a skill perspective, that's a lot to live up to.
Kemba Walker said earlier this week that he'd be willing to take less than the Supermax if it helped Charlotte and that Charlotte was still his first priority. Was this a smart or a dumb move by Kemba to announce this ahead of free agency, which will be kicking off here in about 10 days?
I don't want to say dumb, but I think he kind of revealed his hand too soon if you guys are poker fans. You got to get your money, man, while you can, because the ball is going to stop bouncing.
I mean, I respect him saying, you know, I'm willing to take less to help the team, but his contract wouldn't be the problem. The contract's the other four guys that are making $85 million, that's the problem. Bismack Biyombo, Nick Batum, who is not a favorite here at the Rundown, and I'm afraid that as I'm talking to the Hornets PR and getting people in here to do our Rundown hot seat segments, I'm worried they're going to give me Nick Batum one day, and I'm not sure how we're going to handle that when it happens.
Nick, you suck. All and your contract.
What's the matter with you, man? Nick Batum,
he's a finesse
taking all
man.
That money. You know what you doing?
He needs to be the one talking about taking a pay cut,
really, or buyout yeah. something. Get him off of here. Like, would he if Jordan went to Nick Batum was like, look, I'm going to give you $30 million. Just get up out of here. You know, he owes him 50.
I mean, like you said, though, off the break, bringing in Blake, I know it's a little bit off topic, but he needs to get some of these Jordan brand guys to come in.
I know.
Charlotte,
that's
man.
What
Stop
I'm saying.
Playing.
Well, for a while, before all the injuries, and this is how crazy the injuries to Golden State has been, because really, remember, before that, a week or two before that, Daryl Morey, the Rockets, was so fed up with not being able to beat the Warriors, he put pretty much everybody on the trading block, mm-hmm. and they weren't even going to re-sign D'Antoni. Durant gets hurt. Thompson gets hurt. Now Morey's like, actually, I think I got enough like, right to, here yeah. to just beat whoever else comes out the West. Everybody come on back. We're just going to run this back, do it all over
I
again.
Think he was
D'Antoni, we're
going
to re-sign you and get everything going. But they were going to trade Chris Paul, and we talked about it on the show.
Contract, though?
Charlotte.
Oh, my God.
Charlotte.
$40 million a year?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That Charlotte was being mentioned as one of the teams that was talking to them about Chris Paul, and I think it would have been they let Kemba go. They bring Chris Paul right. in, it offsets, and then
if you can't
you're
get
just
rid
selling
of
tickets.
Yeah,
at
you
that
couldn't
point.
Have both of them. Yeah,
no,
you
definitely
you couldn't do
not.
Both. But no. So, what do you think in terms of Kemba? What's the amount he should go down to? Like, I mean,
I'd say what Conley got like 190 a few years ago. I think Kemba, the lowest he should take is maybe around 180. And he, I mean, honestly, like he's a franchise cornerstone. He's given them several years to draft and build around him. Like it's been what 8 years. I mean, how long is he supposed to sit around and be a fringe playoff contender? I mean, he's arguably the best Hornet, the greatest Hornet in the history of the franchise already.
True.
Currently,
that's
so,
true.
I mean, does he have anything left to prove to us right now?
I mean, if he, I respect him saying it. Maybe he don't need $221 million over 5 years. He's been severely underpaid already. Mm-hmm. If he does, like, I don't know, 5 years, 150, that's $30 million a year. I'm pretty comfortable with that. Like, I don't know if Kemba's comfortable yeah. with that, but if that's the kind of stuff he's talking about, then, yeah, I could see him doing that. He gets through this next season. I would only do that if Kemba – if I was Kemba, I'd go into the front office and be like, I'm willing to take less money. I'll take this amount, but only if you're starting the young guns with me in the beginning yeah. of the season next year. Malik Monk, Miles Bridges – Cody
Even
Zeller,
Devontae Graham, Devontae they need to Graham. Get those guys some minutes.
The guys they ran at the end of the year last yeah. year that they started playing and winning some games. And apparently the word was Kemba was hanging out with them off the court. They were going to dinner together and stuff and hanging out. And they started calling themselves Kemba and the Young Guns.
Yeah.
Run with those guys.
Exactly.
Let Marvin Williams and Bismack and all those guys come off the bench. And if you can get something done midseason, then do it because Bismack's contract is an expiring deal. So that's cap room for
he
somebody.
It makes me so mad the fact that they drafted this guy.
I know, they let
him
go.
And then brought him back and paid back. Him. Come
After,
on,
man. Who was it, Philly crazy. Or somebody signed him to like some crazy extension? And then for
well,
who did
this?
It was
Toronto.
It was Toronto, yeah.
yeah he was
it
Raptors.
Was it Kupchak that brought him back? Or was it Chow?
I think it was Mitch.
Okay.
Mitch. No, it was 2 years ago. It was Cho.
Man, Cho messed this whole thing up.
Yeah, man, I think Kemba has to do more. He has to go in that front office and say, we need this piece, and these pieces gone. And if you can't get these guys out of here and get in who I need, there's no need for me to be nothing but mediocrity this year, not make the playoffs, and still not get paid. If that doesn't happen, Kemba just needs to get his money, say the heck with you, because the luxury tax is just something that the owner would have to pay if mm-hmm. Kemba's getting paid, and let Jordan pay it mm-hmm. and get your money, because he's given so many years of service without the money that he truly deserves.
I understand Jordan saying he doesn't want to pay luxury tax for a team that's not in the playoffs. I totally get that. But eventually you're going to get to a point where you're going to have to start paying some luxury tax. You're Michael Jordan, and I'm surprised you've not gotten to the point where you're willing to dump money into this like you would at a blackjack table in Atlantic City or something.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, this is the Hornets. Like, if you really want to be considered, the Warriors have shown you don't have to be in a major market to become a major team.
Exactly.
You just got to draft well yep. and protect your assets. And now them building a brand new arena, the Lacombs, they can afford to pay mm-hmm. $350 exactly. million dollars for their roster
Probably
next year.
And they need to develop well. That's the other thing that yeah. Charlotte hasn't done well, in my opinion, is developing players the right
exactly.
way.
Exactly, because I'd like to see Malik Monk take that next step.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. So we got to do 1 minute with, well, you're not really an intern anymore, but it just rolls off the tongue. 1 minute with intern Aaron. We do this each week where Aaron gets a chance to give us an idea of some kind of question I'm going to give him. I've had this question burning on me all week long. I know Tyson Fury is going to be fighting tonight, if I'm not mistaken. He's taking on...
is he fighting tonight?
Tom Schwartz? Was that last night or was that tonight?
No, that's tonight.
That's tonight. Okay, so my question for you tonight or today, 1 minute with intern Aaron, what the hell is the lineal heavyweight championship in boxing and why is there now four heavyweight titles?
All right, let me break this down for you real quick for the listener audience that may not be boxing observers or the casual boxing fan. All right, there are four sanctioning bodies or four major sanctioning bodies in boxing. You have the WBC, the World Boxing Council, the IBF, the International Boxing Federation, the World Boxing Association, and the WBO. All right, so basically, each one of those has a championship belt. Really, there's multiples, but we won't get into that.
Oh, God.
Ruiz actually holds the IBF, WBA, and WBO heavyweight championship belts.
From knocking out Joseph last week.
Correct. Wilder holds the WBC heavyweight championship belt. What Tyson Fury is laying claim to, the lineal belt, is actually the WBA belt. But because Tyson Fury was never actually defeated in the ring, he still holds claim to that lineal championship belt.
Why is it called the lineal heavyweight?
It's the longest. It's got the most history. It's the one that John L. Sullivan held and all of that. And then it kind of merged back in like the 20s. And that's how that whole thing came about.
Okay. See, that's what we like to bring on the rundown, like knowledge. I didn't know anything about
that. Yeah, same. I just got school.
Yeah. So I thank you very much. I appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I've been working on that whole intern thing, thinking maybe the real deal with Aaron Gabriel.
Okay.
Keeping it real with Aaron Gabriel. Ooh. We'll work on it.
We might put that up as the poll next week. That might be our poll next week. We're going to name that. But coming up, odds and ends, rapid fire round. We'll get 1 minute to debate a random topic. You don't want to miss it as we come around third base. Next on the rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
Download full episodes of The Rundown at sportshubtried.com, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and more. Simply search for The Rundown with Desmond Johnson. Download and go. This episode will be up probably about an hour or so, so you can check that out over the course of your weekend if you didn't get a chance to hear everything we covered today on The Rundown. As you know, we end each episode with odds and ends. Aaron's going to set a stop clock for 45 seconds. At the end of each of those segments, we will hear a buzzer sound. Six topics, rapid fire. Let's go ahead and get it going, Aaron.
There we go. All right. Let's get this thing going. Odds and ends, yes?
Yes.
All right. So, starting off, question numero uno. Do you think the Lakers will land Anthony Davis before the draft, which takes place on June the 20th? If they do land Davis, do the Lakers become the favorites to win it all in 2020?
I already told y'all earlier in the show, yes and yes. Like,
yes, and not with just Ant Davis. They need a little bit more for the title.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll land Anthony Davis by June 20th. I just don't see it happening. I'm going to go with no, and I think they still would be part one of the favorites for the upcoming year, though.
They were running fourth before LeBron got hurt around Christmas playing that Golden State game. Even if it's just LeBron and the young core, Ball, Kuzma, Hart, depending on what they bring back, they need some shooters. I'd go after like J.J. Redick or somebody.
Or Kenny Middleton. People don't even talk about him.
That's true. Yeah.
So they need some kind of shooting action going on. They can't just throw in like Rajon Rondo and those guys like from last year. Although I do like JaVale McGee. I would like for them to bring him back.
It'd be nice if they could slide Jimmy Butler over there somehow.
He might be a second tier option for them.
That would be perfect.
I'm actually expecting Jimmy to stay in Philly, but we'll see. All this is going to start coming down here in a sec.
All right. Will you watch Tiger Woods this weekend as he plays in the U.S. Open?
Maybe. Matter of fact, let me go look and see where he is on the leaderboard. I know he had a decent day yesterday. I think he finished kind of rough, but
Ricky Fowler's been tearing it up.
Yeah, you know what? I probably will. It's kind of a Father's Day tradition to watch it.
I mean, I'd watch Tiger any chance I got. I don't care if he was just hitting at the driving range. Tiger on, I'm watching.
He's tied for 32nd right now with a lot of people. Gary Woodland is 9 under par. He's the leader right now in the clubhouse. Justin Rose is second.
I was going to say, he jumped Justin Rose.
Yeah. We'll find out about that later on today, too.
All right. The women's, or U.S. women's national team, destroyed Thailand to open round robin play in the 2019 Women's World Cup. Ladies have been reprimanded by some celebrations for or own late goals. Does the women's team celebrations of 10, 11 goals bother you, or are you even more proud to be an American?
Proud to be an American.
Extra proud. Hey,
they blow put the girls out.
Yeah, don't let up.
It don't bother me one bit. I want to see them score 18, hey, 19, 20.
Man, we were live on the drive when this was going on, and we decided we were going to do a bit where every time they scored a goal, we were going to break into whatever Josh was doing. When we decided to do it, we were like, okay, that's like two or three times during the three-hour show. We'll be fine. The game started at 3. 13 goals later, like, we're literally breaking in, like, every, like, there was a stretch in the second half, and they came back out where Josh could not finish the segment because, like, he'd get going, and about 3 minutes in, they'd score again. So we would just break in with, like, breaking news. They just won again. They just scored another goal. They're up 9-0. And then he'd be like, I'm really afraid to do something. He'd get going again, and then he'd score again. So, like, literally went on for, like, the entire show. It was fantastic. Go ahead.
Does Steph Curry ever get to the NBA Finals again?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yes.
I don't know, man. The one thing with NBA dynasties, they end quick. You don't expect them to end when they do, but if you go back and look, Showtime Lakers, Bad Boy Pistons, the Bulls of the 90s, all of them. The Miami Heat with LeBron, and now this Golden State Warrior team. I don't think he's going to get back. I don't think he'll make it back to the NBA Finals.
Would you still offer Kevin Durant a 4-year max deal if you're any team but the Warriors?
He isn't my first target, but absolutely.
I don't think I would. I got to see what happens. I've just seen all these guys with Achilles injuries never be the same. I'm not willing to pay this dude $44 million for 19 points a game. I know he did well in the past, but I'm not paying him for the past. I'm paying him to help me in the future.
You have to have a year to sacrifice.
Yeah, and plus you got to pay him for a year where he ain't even playing. I don't know.
Yeah, no max deal for the cupcake as far as I'm concerned.
Lastly, is Kemba Walker staying in Charlotte?
I think he is. I think he's going to stay in Charlotte. I don't know what the final number will be, but I think he'll lock in a 5-year deal. And he'll try to help Charlotte a little bit within reason. I don't think it'll be too crazy.
Agreed.
Yeah, Kimba got to get that money, baby. You got to get paid. You got to get that paper.
download the free WSGS Sports Hub app from Google Play or iTunes. Don't forget to check out Sports Carolina Monthly Daily for your latest news on your favorite sports teams in NC. Weekly podcasts like the Live with Brandon Blakeney podcast, Don't Try This at Home Pro Wrestling podcast, A Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, and The Rundown. In-depth articles written by some of the best talent around. Ticket specials and more. That's SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. We're out. We'll see you next Saturday.